Our scripture lesson today comes from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 6, again from the NIRV translation. A huge cloud of witnesses is all around us. So let us throw off everything that stands in our way. Let us throw off any sin that holds on to us so tightly, and let us keep on running the race marked out for us. Let us keep looking to Jesus. He is the one who started this journey of faith, and he is the one who completes the journey of faith. He paid no attention to the shame of the cross. He suffered there because of the joy he was looking forward to. Then he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He made it through these attacks by sinners, so think about him. Then you won't get tired. You won't lose hope. You struggle against sin, but you have not yet fought to the point of spilling your blood. Have you completely forgotten the word of hope? It speaks to you as a father to his children. It says, "My child, think of the Lord's training as important. Do not lose hope when he corrects you. The Lord trains the ones he loves. He corrects everyone he accepts as his own." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, my God, my rock and my redeemer, you are so great indeed. God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Y'all sounded so beautiful. You sounded so beautiful, and we just sang the most beautiful songs this morning. I didn't want to stop singing. We could have just sang all morning. This is the beginning of a series called Gather Around. At VBS on Thursday night, the theme was the Olympics. We gathered in the social hall for a time of fellowship and fun. We ate dinner together, family style, all at one table. We did some crafts and played some games, and there were laps running around the social hall. It was fabulous. And all the time, we were focused on this theme of building each other up, encouraging each other, cheering for one another, supporting each other, and trying our best in this life of faith. Who's looking forward to watching the Olympics? Most people. What happens at the Olympics? Athletes compete, right? But who else is there? Coaches, families, fans, judges, security. So I took a moment and I looked up how many people will be present at the Olympics this year. 10,500 athletes will be competing for glory, striving for the gold. 15 million visitors, including 2 million from abroad, with an average of 40,000 agents a day providing security. Talk about a cloud of witnesses. It's inspiring and emotional to imagine all those people from all over the world gathered in one city, that sounds a little overwhelming, for the Olympic Games event. We had a fantastic little cloud of witnesses at our mini Olympic race, cheering on all our competitors as they raced around the social hall. And as Scarlett was leading us through this programming, I just knew in my heart of hearts that at some point she was going to ask this question. Do you like to run? I don't like to run, thank you very much. Even when my mom signed me up for soccer in elementary school, I learned that I hated it because you had to run back and forth across the soccer field just over and over and over again, and that's not fun to me. Even when I was thin in high school, I never liked running. Riding my bike, kayaking, being outside, love it. Running, unless someone is chasing me, seems very pointless. I am clearly not an athlete. However, I do enjoy being outdoors. The first year of our marriage, Eric and I made a big purchase. We bought ourselves new bicycles. I mentioned last week that we lived in East Beach Ocean View, which is a great community to cycle in, but we decided to go on a big adventure. For our first cycling expedition, we decided to ride our bikes from our house in East Beach all the way to downtown Norfolk to go to our favorite wing spot. You know, it'll be like a reward, like ride, go get wings, and then ride back. Just work it all off. It was just 10 miles to the Dirty Buffalo on Collie Avenue. Just 10 little miles from our duplex in East Beach. Just 20 miles round trip. No big deal, right? In August. And now they have one right there at Little Creek, which is just a little insulting, I think. I may not have been an athlete, but I can tell you I learned something about endurance that day. No matter how hot or tired we were, we had to keep pedaling. There was no shortcut, no option to phone a friend. We had to keep going one more block, one more street, one more turn until we got home. The Christian life is a journey. According to Paul, it's a race, a marathon, a long-distance obstacle course towards a finish line. It's not easy, but it's worth it. I'm not a runner, but one of my good friends is. She runs every day, even in this ghastly heat. And when we first met, she had run a marathon, and she said it was awful, and she would never do it again. And just a few months later, she was signed up for another one. I was in total awe of her determination. Recently, she ran in a 50-mile race. As she was running, she noticed another runner fall. She stopped to help them get up and get to an aid station, and she took time out of her own race to help someone else. Then she took a pretty good fall of her own, and she had bruises on her legs and her shoulders, and her feet were blistered, and as a result, she was unable to finish. She completed 32 incredible miles, but wasn't fast enough to do the last leg of the race. She was devastated that she wasn't able to finish. If she had been just 15 minutes faster, she would have at least been able to try. But she would have had to leave that other runner behind on the path. The Jesus in her compelled her to sacrifice her goals to help someone else. And before she even came home, she signed up to do the race again next year. We know what we know is that Jesus is there waiting and cheering us on, and that the Holy Spirit goes with us to guide us on these incredible journeys. We don't have to do a 20-mile bike ride or a 50-mile race to know that Jesus is cheering us on, that the Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us through all of the twists and turns that we have come in our way and that we've already overcome. Most importantly, there is grace upon grace upon grace for every setback, every stumble, every unnecessary loop. Nothing is wasted. Even if you don't succeed, you still have the opportunity to learn from your experiences and mistakes. I truly believe that God gives us to each other so that we don't walk alone. We have a great cloud of witnesses, every child of God striving towards the same goal as us, every person in your family who wants you to succeed, every friend who's there to give you a helping hand. Our life of faith is a journey, an adventure, an expedition, but maybe instead of a race, we slow down. And we focus, and we wake up, and we remember that we have a hope and a future that God is calling us toward. And we have a perfect Savior who shows us that the way might not be easy, but that it will give glory to God when we strive to give God praise in every step that we take. And that as we do it, we can show others how to live a life that's pleasing to God. Today's text mentions that we should let go of whatever holds us back or weighs us down. During VBS, Scarlett brought a really heavy backpack with like a bunch of water bottles in it and also a weighted blanket. She had the kids lay down on the ground and do a plank and then lay that blanket right on top of them. 15 pounds of blanket on top of these little kiddos holding this plank. It gets harder as you go. And so some athletes train wearing weighted backpacks or wrist or ankle weights. They intentionally make their training harder so that when the race day comes, it's easier to meet their goal. In this journey of faith, we're called to travel light so that nothing keeps us from finishing the race, so that nothing distracts us from accomplishing the greatness that God has set before us. Remember how I told you I'm not an athlete? The best part about the race of our faith is that it is not a competition. This is a community sport like the relay race where everyone is cheering each other on. We all win together. Our way to the finish line, on our way to the finish line, we are not alone. There will be plenty of earthly things, real life situations that are distracting us and seemingly getting in our way. Some of them are just everyday stuff going on in our lives. The cell phone rings while you're doing your morning devotion. Endless notifications. A salesman rings your doorbell during your afternoon nap. That, you know, didn't happen to me or anything. An unfriendly honk from the car behind you. A coworker that drives you crazy. I don't have any of those here. Neighbors who don't pick up after their dogs. An unexpected bill, never-ending to-do lists. Some of them are personally catastrophic. A health scare, a financial crisis, conflict at work or at home, struggles with your children, an appliance broke. None of this is sin, and yet it still weighs on us. It's just the hard stuff of life. This is the definition that I have developed for sin. Jesus tells us that the greatest commandment is narrowed down to two things: love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, and love your neighbors as yourselves. So whenever we don't love God with all of ourselves, and whenever we don't love our neighbors the way that we want to be loved, that's sin. Sin is real. Sin is an obstacle. Temptation is real, but it's not the only thing that gets in the way on our journey of faith. So what is slowing us down? Sometimes we just have to be aware of it so that we can include God in whatever circumstances that we're in, so that our cloud of witnesses can support us and encourage us and keep us going on this faith, journey of faith. Our cloud of witnesses is all among us. Not just those who have gone on to the great and glory above. Some of these things are unavoidable obstacles in the journey of faith, but some of it is our own choices, the choices that we make that actively take us farther away from God's will for our lives. What can we throw off so that we can be freed for joyful obedience? As we strive toward a future of hope, as we look around and see who's with us, who's cheering us on, let's think about what our goal is, not just individually, but as a church. What are we striving towards? How do we get there? Is there anything slowing us down? Are there old patterns that were helpful in a particular season, but aren't quite moving us forward in the direction that God is leading us to go next? As we acknowledge the inevitable, that sometimes we won't succeed, that we won't win every race. We might stumble and fall. We also remember that we have hope, that we get to try again, and that we are not alone on this journey, that there is nothing that separates us from the love of God through Christ Jesus, because we aren't called to get stuck in the sinking sand of our brokenness. We are called to move forward in freedom and forgiveness. Amen. Let us enter now into a time of prayer together, lifting up our own prayer concerns and that of all the circumstances going on in the world. Will you pray with me as we prepare our hearts and minds to come to the table of grace? Loving and gracious God of all nations, you love justice and hate oppression. You give peace to those who seek it, and you condemn violence wherever it is in your creation. Mighty God, we pray for the victims of violence, including former President Trump and those who were injured yesterday in Pennsylvania. Lord, we pray for peace and civility in our nation. We pray that nation would not lift up sword against nation, nor citizen against citizen, that we would be people of your peace, and we would learn war no more. We pray that we might lay down our arms and run helplessly to yours, because your arms are wide open for us, just as open as they were when your Son hung upon the cross. We claim the victory of life over death that Jesus accomplished in his death and resurrection. Lord, we know that you don't choose sides. Your side is peace. Your side is justice. Your love is for the victims and the perpetrators of violence, and you long for them to seek you and your ways. Let us be the peacemakers of your kingdom. Christ goes before us, but let us follow him and lead others to experience another way, the way of mercy and forgiveness. Surround us with a great cloud of witnesses that we may have faith to live by your word in our time. Encourage us, give us courage and endurance to persevere as we face our trials and tribulations. Give us courage to follow your servants and prophets and to look to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And so with hope, we pray together the prayer that sharpens our focus. As the gathering at Scott Memorial, let us pray together our breakthrough prayer. God, help us to gather with you to feed the body, mind, and spirit while being Christ's hands and feet. Help us to love and serve our local community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.